It's time for the Podketeer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That's spelled Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podketeer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see, for I've got curiosity.
Hello, Podketeers, and welcome to episode 69 of Podketeer. Well, unless you've been in a cave someplace, you have undoubtedly heard that Disney has purchased Lucasfilms for $4.05 billion. You know, it amazes me how many different places have cut off the .05, which, considering the fact that it's $50 million, that's a pretty big number to be just nonchalantly leaving off the report. You know, I, like a lot of people, kind of wondered about this because, you know, it's like Disney's taking over the world, more or less. But the more I think of it, the more I think this is a pretty good fit. They've already got a big connection between Star Wars and Disney. You know, anybody that's been to Disneyland seen the, they've got a whole store pretty much devoted to Star Wars. And they've got Star Wars stuff sold pretty much all over the park. So this is really a pretty good fit. A much better fit, I think, than Marvel. Now, while the movie end of things, I'm sure, will make Disney money, the characters, the Marvel characters, I don't think are a real good fit with Disney. Spider-Man and so forth. They just really don't fit that well. But, and like I said, I think Star Wars fits great. Now, I don't know how it's going to be shoveling out a movie every 2 years. Don't know how many movies they're going to actually make. And they're also talking about having a TV show on perhaps ABC. Or, you know, it might be on the Disney Channel or something. So I'm quite sure we're going to be seeing an awful lot of Star Wars over the next few years. Now, I captured the original report with Bob Iger and George Lucas where they announced the sale of Lucasfilms. I almost want to call it a merger, but it's not a merger. It's a sale. He's pretty much out of the picture. He's going to help be a creative consultant for a while, but I don't know how long that's going to last, because the way he talks, he wants to just, he kind of acts like he's sick of Star Wars, to be honest with you. The stuff that I've seen of him, a little while back, somebody, I think it was TMZ or one of them, caught him out someplace and asked him when the next Star Wars movie was going to come out, and he said never. So it just makes it sound to me like he was just about sick of doing Star Wars stuff. Maybe like Arthur Conan Doyle got sick of doing Sherlock Holmes and actually killed Sherlock Holmes off. So maybe that's kind of getting to George Lucas. So it'll be good. You can see what Disney's going to do with them. And I'm sure that they'll do a good job. They're not going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg, I'm quite sure. All right, so next up, I'm going to have the original report that came out. It's more like an announcement than a report, with Bob Iger and George Lucas. So here we go with that.
Today, I am proud to announce the Walt Disney Company is acquiring Lucasfilm, the global entertainment company founded by George Lucas, and the home of the legendary Star Wars franchise. In addition to getting the rights to one of the greatest family franchises and epic stories of all time, Disney is also acquiring all of Lucasfilm's operating businesses, including Industrial Light and Magic and Skywalker Sound. George Lucas is a true visionary and an innovative epic storyteller who has defined modern filmmaking with unforgettable characters and amazing stories. The Star Wars universe now has more than 17,000 characters inhabiting several thousand planets and spanning 20,000 years. And this gives Disney infinite inspiration and opportunities to continue the epic Star Wars saga. Fans can expect a new feature film, Star Wars Episode 7, in theaters worldwide in 2015. And there will be more feature films, as well as consumer products, television projects, games, and theme park attractions. We're thrilled that George has entrusted the future of his extraordinary legacy to the Walt Disney Company and recognize what an honor it is. We truly understand the responsibility that comes with being the caretakers of such iconic characters that are beloved by hundreds of millions all over the world. Disney has a unique ability to grow strong brands and expand fantastic creative content, as we've proven with our successful acquisitions of both Pixar and Marvel. And the addition of Lucasfilm will further our growth strategy and create even more opportunity for Disney to drive significant long-term value for our shareholders.
I've been a big fan of Disney all my life, from when I was born, first day at Disneyland, loved Disney movies, got very involved with Disney in the 80s and working in the parks. And I've always had a fondness for Disney. At the same time, as I've gone through my career, I realized at some point I needed to retire and I wanted to go on and do other things, things in philanthropy and doing more experimental kind of films, but I couldn't really drag my company into that. And I felt it was time for me to start thinking about retiring, and I've been doing that for the last 4 years. And one of the most important shifts that I had was I found Kathy Kennedy, who I'd been working with for 40 years, and asked her if she wanted to come and be a co-chairman with me and get ready to take over the company and take over the franchise and do everything. And once that piece was in place, I knew then I could step away and actually retire. The final block in that was to find a good, solid home for the company. And the first place I thought was Disney. They're large enough, and the match of what our two companies are is just perfect, because we're like a mini Disney. We have the same kind of operations. We do the same kind of thing. And I've worked with Disney over the years, and I know how they operate. So it was a perfect match of two companies that are constructed similarly, do the same kind of product. And I think it'll give me a chance to go off and explore my own interests at the same time, feel completely confident that Disney, will take good care of the franchise I've built. And at the same time, for me, I look at it as I'm investing in Disney because that's my retirement fund. The future Star Wars films, Kathy and I have been working on future Star Wars films, and the main reason I brought Kathy on is rather than quit, I wanted to have it move forward, but I needed somebody I trusted who could take that franchise and make it work the way I intended it to. So once Kathy came on board, we started working with writers and started working on all the processes of doing the films. So we've got a plan for 7, 8, and 9, which are the end of the trilogy, and other films also. So we have a large group of ideas and characters and books and all kinds of things. We could go on making Star Wars for the next 100 years.
100 years. I don't know if there's 100 years worth of Star Wars movies out there to be made, but oh well. Hey, if Lucas wants to
wants to have 100 years worth of movies. I don't think I'm going to be around to see them all, but you never know. They may invent the pill that makes you live forever, or find the fountain of youth, or something. So, anywho, now next up, I have a teleconference that was put together. And I forget who all's in this, but Bob Iger's one of them. Lucas isn't in it, but they announce who's in it. So I'm going to play that for you now. So enjoy.
Joining me for today's call are Bob Iger, Disney's Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and Jay Rasulo, Senior Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Bob's going to lead off, and then Jay will address some of the deal specifics. We'll then be happy to take some of your questions. So with that, let me turn it over to Bob, and we'll get started.
Thank you very much, Lowell. Good afternoon. As we just announced, the Walt Disney Company has agreed to acquire Lucasfilm and its world-class portfolio of creative content, including the legendary Star Wars franchise, along with all of its operating businesses, including Industrial Light and Magic and Skywalker Sound. George Lucas is a true visionary, an innovator, and an epic storyteller, and he's built a company at the intersection of entertainment and technology to bring some of the world's most unforgettable characters and stories to screens across the galaxy. He's entertained, inspired, and defined filmmaking for almost four decades, and we're incredibly honored that he's entrusted the future of that legacy to Disney. Disney has had a great relationship with George that goes back a long way, with Star Wars-themed attractions in our parks in Anaheim, Orlando, Paris, and Tokyo. And this acquisition builds on that foundation and combines two of the strongest family entertainment brands in the world. It makes sense not just because of our brand compatibility and the previous success that we've had together, but because Disney respects and understands, probably better than just about anyone else, the importance of iconic characters and what it takes to protect and leverage them effectively to drive growth and create value. Lucasfilm fits perfectly with Disney's strategic priorities. It is a sustainable source of branded, high-quality creative content with tremendous global appeal that will benefit all of Disney's business units, and it is incredibly well-suited for new business models, including digital platforms. Adding the Lucasfilm IP to our existing Disney, Pixar, and Marvel IP clearly enhances our ability to serve consumers, strengthening our competitive position, and we're confident we can earn a return on invested capital well in excess of our cost of capital. Star Wars, in particular, is a strong global brand and one of the greatest family entertainment franchises of all time, with hundreds of millions of fans around the globe. Its universe of more than 17,000 characters inhabiting several thousand planets and spanning only 20,000 years offers infinite inspiration and opportunities, and we're already moving forward with plans to continue the epic Star Wars saga. The last Star Wars movie release was 2005's Revenge of the Sith, and we believe there's substantial pent-up demand. In 2015, we're planning to release Star Wars Episode 7, the first feature film under the Disney Lucas brand. That will be followed by Episodes 8 and 9, and our long-term plan is to release a new Star Wars feature film every 2 to 3 years. We're very happy that George Lucas will be creative consultant on our new Star Wars films, and that Kathleen Kennedy, the current co-chair of Lucasfilm, will executive produce the films. George handpicked Kathy earlier this year to lead Lucasfilm into the future, and she'll join Disney as president of Lucasfilm, reporting into Walt Disney Studios Chairman Alan Horn, and integrating and building the Star Wars franchise across our company. Our successful acquisitions of Pixar and Marvel proved Disney's unique ability to grow brands and expand high-quality creative content to its fullest franchise potential and to maximize value. And we've leveraged Pixar's terrific characters and stories into franchises across our company, from feature films to consumer products online, to consumer products, online games, major attractions in our theme parks, and more. The 2006 Pixar acquisition delivered more than great Pixar content. It also delivered the means to energize and revitalize the creative engine at Walt Disney Animation, which was crucial to our long-term success. Animation is the heart and soul of Disney, and our successful creative resurgence will be on full display this weekend when Wreck-It Ralph opens in theaters across the country. Our acquisition of Marvel 3 years ago 3 years later, combined Marvel's strong global brand and world-renowned library of characters with Disney's creative skills, unparalleled global portfolio of entertainment properties, and an integrated business structure that maximizes the value of creative content across multiple platforms and territories. Our first two Marvel films, Thor and Captain America, grossed a total of more than $800 million at the box office. And this year, Marvel's The Avengers grossed more than $1.5 billion to become the world's third highest grossing movie of all time and an important and lucrative franchise for us. We're looking forward to a robust slate of new Marvel movies, starting with Iron Man 3 and Thor: The Dark World next year, followed by Captain America: The Winter Soldier in 2014. And we've announced previously, Joss Whedon is writing and directing Avengers 2 and developing a Marvel-based series for ABC. Pixar and Marvel both fit our criteria for strategic acquisitions. They add great IP that benefits multiple Disney businesses for years to come and continue to create value well in excess of their purchase price. The acquisition of Lucasfilm is in keeping with this proven strategy for success, and we expect it to create similar opportunity for Disney to drive long-term value for our shareholders. We're clearly excited about this move forward. We believe we can do great things with these amazing assets. We have a proven track record of maximizing the value of our acquisitions, and we're poised to do the same with this one. With that, I'll turn this over to our CFO, Jay Rasulo.
Thanks, Bob, and good afternoon, everyone. Lucasfilm, and more specifically, the Star Wars franchise, fits perfectly within the Disney portfolio of intellectual properties, and strategic and financial implications of this acquisition are compelling. Our team has spent a tremendous amount of time evaluating this deal, and we've concluded that we are uniquely positioned to maximize the value of Lucasfilm's IP in a manner that can generate substantial value for our shareholders above and beyond the purchase price. In this transaction, we will acquire rights to the Star Wars and Indiana Jones franchises, a highly talented and expert team, Lucasfilm's best-in-class post-production businesses, Industrial Light and Magic, and Skywalker Sound, and a suite of cutting-edge entertainment technologies. Our valuation focused almost entirely on the financial potential of the Star Wars franchise, which we expect to provide us with a stream of storytelling opportunities for years to come, delivered via all relevant platforms on a global basis. There are a number of ways our company will derive value from Lucasfilm's intellectual property, some of which can be realized immediately while others will accrue to us over time. George and his team have built Star Wars into one of the most successful and enduring family entertainment franchises in history, as well as one of the best-selling licensed character merchandise brands in the U.S. and around the world. However, we believe that there is great opportunity to further expand the consumer products business. Today, Star Wars is heavily skewed towards toys and North America. We see great opportunity domestically to extend the breadth and depth of the Star Wars franchise into other categories. We also plan to leverage Disney's global consumer products organization to grow the Star Wars consumer products business internationally. Let me note that in 2012, Lucasfilm's consumer products business is expected to generate total licensing revenue that is comparable to the roughly $215 million in consumer products revenue Marvel generated in 2009, the year in which we announced our acquisition. With renewed film releases and the support we can give the Star Wars property on our Disney-branded TV stations, we expect that business to grow substantially and profitably for years to come. We also expect to create significant value in the film business. We plan to release the first new Star Wars film in 2015 and then plan to release one film every 2 to 3 years. These films will be released and distributed as part of our target slate of 8 to 10 live-action films per year and will augment Disney's already strong creative pipeline for many years to come. Lucasfilms has not released a Star Wars film since The Revenge of the Sith in 2005. However, adjusted for inflation, as well as the growth in both international box office and 3D, we estimate the three most recent Star Wars films would have averaged about $1.5 billion in global box office in today's dollars. That speaks to the franchise's strength, global appeal, and the great opportunity we have in the film business. We also expect to utilize Star Wars in other businesses, including parks and resorts, in games, and in our television business. These initiatives were also considered in our evaluation. Under the terms of the agreement, Disney will buy Lucasfilm for $4.05 billion, consisting of approximately 50% cash and 50% in Disney stock. Based on Friday's closing price of Disney stock, we will expect to issue approximately 40 million Disney shares for this transaction. We continue to believe our shares are attractively priced at current levels, and therefore, we currently intend to repurchase all of the shares issued within the next 2 years. And that's in addition to what we plan to repurchase in the absence of the transaction. Our valuation of Lucasfilm is roughly comparable to the value we placed on Marvel when we announced that acquisition in 2009. Our Lucasfilm valuation is almost entirely driven by the Star Wars franchise, so any success from other franchises would provide upside to our base case. I realize it may be challenging for you to quantify our opportunity given the limited amount of publicly available information, but to give you some perspective on the size of the Lucasfilm business, in 2005, the year in which the most recent Star Wars film was released, Lucasfilm generated $550 million in operating income. We've taken a conservative approach to our valuation assumptions, including continued erosion of the home entertainment market, and we expect this acquisition to create value for our shareholders. In terms of the impact on our financials, we expect the acquisition to be dilutive to our EPS by low single-digit percentage points in fiscal 2013 and 2014 and become accretive to EPS in 2015. Our capital allocation philosophy has been consistent since Bob took over as CEO. In addition to returning capital to shareholders, we have invested both organically and through acquisitions in high-quality branded content that can be seamlessly leveraged across our businesses. Our acquisition of Lucasfilm is entirely consistent with this strategy, and we're incredibly excited by the prospect of building on Lucasfilm's successful legacy to create significant value for our shareholders.
Well, I thought that was kind of interesting and worth a listen. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. You probably know more about this Star Wars acquisition by Disney than you really wanted to know, huh? Well, I wonder how long it'll take before everything gets in swing. I mean, they've already got so much Disney stuff, Star Wars stuff at Disney, that I can't imagine it's going to have a huge effect first up. I mean, it like with Marvel, you know, almost overnight they had Spider-Man stuff for sale at the World of Disney. Now, like I say, they've already got Star Wars stuff at the World of Disney, so this isn't going to be a big overnight change like you had with the Marvel stuff. And like I said, I'm fairly pleased with the purchase. I think it'll be good for Disney. And they're actually talking theme parks. Boy, that'd be something if Disney could build a Star Wars theme park. Wow. I wonder where they'd build it at. Probably out in the desert, so it'd be like Tatooine. That'd be kind of cool. Well, we'll see. There's probably lots of changes going to be made and lots of money to be made, I'm sure. And we're going to be hearing that famous song that you heard right at the beginning of today's show for many, many, many years to come. John Williams won't have to worry about any retirement money. He's going to have plenty. Alrighty, well, now next up, is a little something about ILM, which was one of the other purchases that Disney made. So here's that.
Hi, Epics. I'm Sean Kelly, and here we are in San Francisco next to the Yoda Fountain, just outside of the legendary Industrial Light and Magic, ILM, a studio that's brought you so many of your favorite movie moments over the last 30 years. I'm a computer animator here, so normally my day is spent at my desk bringing characters to life, but today I get to take a break and give you guys a tour of the studio and show you around and let you meet some of the talented people working here. So let's head on in. The coolest thing about walking around ILM is all the amazing movie memorabilia and costumes. You've got Boba Fett, you've got walls of trophies, there's the MTV Movie Award, all kinds of stuff that's so inspiring to come to work and see every day. Also in our lobby, we have our Willis O'Brien statue. This guy invented stop motion animation and pioneered the entire industry. If not for him, you might not be seeing all the cool effects you see in movies today.
Good afternoon, Industrial Light and Magic.
This is ILM's reception lobby. Unlike any lobby I've been in any office building anywhere else, you won't believe the cool stuff we have in here. Starting with these posters of some of the movies we've been working on lately, signed by the directors and producers, and you can even catch all these on Epix, actually. And here we have the original bicycle animated to fly in front of the moon in E.T. You know, the stop motion animator animated the little puppets of the kids pedaling the bike and E.T. in the basket, and it goes in front of the moon, and it's right here on our reception desk. It's awesome. I started here as an intern. It was by far the most exciting moment of my life, was getting that internship. I always wanted to work here. I'm an old school, long time Star Wars, Indiana Jones fan. So getting that internship was the biggest thing that ever happened to me. And then as an intern, you know, you don't maybe get to do a lot of the important stuff on the movie, but you're surrounded by literally some of the most talented people in the world, and you can learn so much. So as an intern, my whole goal was learning as much as I could from the people around me. I learned a ton, and then eventually got brought on as an animator here.
Oh, I was fascinated from an early age with films that obviously could not have been photographed on a location somewhere. They represented something that had to have been fabricated in one form or another. And the whole idea of these realities that were fabricated was fascinating to me, and I wanted to know how it was done. But these are people that come in the morning and they build spaceships and they blow them up, and you know, that's their job. You can picture yourself being one of those people, and that really sealed the deal for me, is that, boy, I want to be one of these people.
So this is ILM's premier theater. It's our private theater. A lot of really cool stuff happens in here. For example, in the mornings, we'll have dailies in here where they show our, you know, the latest iterations of our work up on the big screen, and we'll all sit together and talk about how that can be better and how to make it cooler. We do that every day. Probably the coolest thing that happens in here is what's called the Speaker Series, which is a series of lectures and Q&As that are just for the employees, where the top directors in the world come and they sit right up there, and we get to ask them questions and hear all about their thought process. So that's ILM's private premiere theater. We've got tons more stuff to show you guys, so let's move on. Hey, so here we are in the back of one of the screening rooms. One of the many things that happens in these screening rooms are the Flex screenings. Flex are kind of ILM's homage to Mystery Science Theater 3000, where they'll put up kind of older campy movies that employees at ILM generally worked on before they came to ILM, and those employees will get up and talk about how they did the effects for that movie, and we'll watch these old campy movies and kind of laugh and poke fun and kind of talk about how things have evolved and changed between the way things were done then versus how we're making movies now. Unfortunately, if you want to come to a Flex screening, you're gonna have to get a job here first. It's just for employees, but come work here and come to the Flex screenings. It's fun.
The usual?
Yes, please.
Coming up.
Thank you. So, you know, sometimes in this industry, you're working some longer hours and you need a caffeine fix, right? And this is where we all come. What better place to come than ILM's own Jabba the Hutt? Another great perk about working at ILM is this. We have a fitness center. They open up early, so if you want, you can come before work and work out, but they stay open, so you can work out after work, or if you've got a free hour during the day, you can even come in the middle of the day and get in here and decompress and work on your guns a little bit and, you know, get your workout in.
I like to come down to our gym to throw some weights around for lunchtime, where I can chill out a little bit, and that releases my stress.
All right, so this is the Lucas Lounge. It's our game room, another perk for the employees. We've got foosball, ping pong, pool tables, table hockey. We got video game machines in here. And of course, what Lucas Lounge would be complete without a Indiana Jones pinball machine? It might look empty right now, but wait till lunchtime. This place is gonna be jumping. We work really hard, but they don't wanna burn us out. So kind of their philosophy is that a well-rested animator is going to be a more creative, productive animator. And a lot of studios, they'll run you into the ground and you're working 100-hour weeks. And that type of stuff usually doesn't really happen here at all. They want us to be, you know, happy. We've got game room and fitness center and amazing cafeteria and all that stuff. And, you know, they want to really take care of us. I really feel like we're not a number here. We're a name. We're like a person. It's not a factory. It's a bunch of artists.
I used to write them letters, you know, dear George Lucas, I want to come and work for you, that kind of thing. I get these nice letters back saying, thanks for your inquiry. We have your letter on record. Don't write us anymore, you know. And years after I'd been here, there was a warehouse that we were clearing out, and somebody said, go over there and check it out, see if there's anything you want to keep. And there were boxes of Stormtrooper costumes and Ewok costumes and mine cars from Indiana Jones and all these weird odds and ends. And in the back corner, back right corner, there was a little box about 8 inches square with all these letters sticking out of it. I thought, I wonder if some of those are mine. And they were. So every now and then when I'm here at night, there's nobody else here, and you walk through and you look at the models and stuff, and I think, man, I can't believe this actually, that I'm here.
Growing up as a Star Wars fan, working here is my total dream job, and getting to walk past stuff like this every day, it's so inspiring, I can't even tell you. Han Solo and Carbonite, how cool is that? And on either side here, we've got some SciTech Academy Awards. That's like kind of the Technology Academy Awards. The studio has won 23 of those. And it's so inspiring to be a part of a place that has such talented people. So before we started doing so much of our work in the computer and compositing things in the computer, which is filming a whole bunch of different things and kind of putting them all together so it looks like they were all filmed at one time together. Before we started doing that in the computer, we did it on this. This is the Howard Anderson optical printer, and this is essentially like Photoshop before there was any such thing as Photoshop. So in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when they want to come up with an image of the guy kind of pushing the box down the aisle, the endless aisle of boxes at the very end of the movie in that huge warehouse full of boxes, they're not going to actually build a gigantic warehouse and a billion boxes to film that, right? They're gonna have a matte painter in ILM paint an amazing painting of boxes on glass, and then they're gonna film in real life a guy on a set kind of pushing that box down an aisle, and then they'll use a machine like this to take both of those rolls of film and put them in the different spools and take one picture right through the middle that goes right through both of those, and you come out with one image at the end that looks like a guy pushing a box into an endlessly huge warehouse, and this puts it all together and makes it look real. One of the things that makes ILM great is the team environment. It's a team atmosphere and a team effort for all of these films. And there can be huge crews working on these movies. And one of the ways that the company celebrates that is at the end of each film, they'll put together what's called a crew photo, where they, you know, put the whole crew into the picture, and sometimes they'll even, for example, you know, Indiana Jones will even put in Indiana Jones and us down beneath him, like we're all in the warehouse with the boxes, and you know, there's me really little in the picture. But it's a cool thing to have and a good souvenir to remember your time on the film. As an animator, my dream has always been to like work on these movies that might inspire a little kid the way The Empire Strikes Back inspired me. So just generally getting to be a part of some projects that I'm really proud of, like the Transformers movies, or some of the stuff in Star Wars is awesome, or some of the stuff in Indiana Jones is awesome, and getting to know that I got to help out in some small way with creating that, it's really rewarding and exciting for me. And for me, I guess my favorite moments the last 12 years here. I love it.
That was pretty interesting. That was at one time an intern at Industrial Light and Magic, who ended up being an animator there. And he had a lot of colorful insights and some interviews with other animators at Industrial Light and Magic. And that now is a part of Disney. Now, I wonder how long it's going to be before they start consolidating Pixar and Industrial Light and Magic into one big animation place. It's got to happen. I mean, it just would save them too much money. Having both of those places that they're supporting just isn't cost effective. You watch. I'll bet you, you know, it isn't going to happen overnight, but I'll bet you hear some kind of merger of the two eventually. It really wouldn't surprise me. All right. Hey, folks. We're running out of time here for tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. It's all Star Wars all the time, at least for today's show. So I hope you learned a little something about Disney's newest acquisition. Well,
y'all take care of yourselves. You have a magical Disney week. And we'll see you at the park. You, me, and Darth Vader. Ta-ta for now.
I wanna go! Park hopping fast, ride dropping, flying through space, mountain sky. Magical dreaming, tower drop screaming, it's a spectacular night. Jungle Cruise roaring, Toy Story scoring, electric light parading, my heart soaring. Everyone dancing, fireworks blasting, let's go to Disney summer night dash. Genie wishing, ice cream dishing, laughing, autographing tonight. Move a busting, pixie dusting, soaring high, clean out of sight.
Podcateer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company, or any of its affiliates. Any similarity to living persons, or Disney characters, without satirical purpose, or the act of reviewing a product, or reporting on an event, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is a production of Toys Etc. in Southern California, and is protected by a Creative Commons, Share Alike 3.0 license. To contact us at Podcateer, please email us at podcateer@earthlink.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh.
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
What? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
It's always Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.